So if you don't have anything or questions, anybody got a question? All right, turn to Acts 17. In Acts chapter 17, if you will, join me in prayer, please. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to study your word. We thank you for preserving your word for us and sending someone to teach us the word of God rightly divided. And we ask you this morning to lead us by your spirit, to build us up in the faith that only the Holy Spirit can show us the truths of what you're doing today. And Father, we ask you this morning to especially be with those that are sick. We ask you to comfort these people and to heal them according to thy will. And Father, we ask you this morning to give honor and glory to yourself in the class. In the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. In Acts chapter 17, the reason I'm going here is because of what I'm going to do this morning, to let you know that we are responsible for what we hear. In other words, if what you hear me say in the name of the Lord better line up to what God says. You understand? And it's your responsibility to make sure that I'm doing what the Bible says. Not that you to teach me or anything, but you can teach me if I do something wrong. You understand? Now, in Acts 17, verse 10, and the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming hither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily. He didn't say weekly, monthly, or yearly. He said daily, whether these things were so. Therefore, many of them believed, also of honorable women, which were Greeks, and of men not a few. Now, there were some there that didn't believe these things, but those that searched the scriptures, did they believe what Paul and Silas were saying? Well, with all of that in mind, let's go back, and I like to remember when I saw this right here, as I call a timeline, how much that helped me understand. And I know Romans says whatsoever things are written aforetime were written for our learning. Well, this whole Bible was written before our time, wasn't it? Well, is the whole Bible good for doctrine?
Yeah.
Well, certainly it is. But I'm not going to try to take doctrine out of here. And I know I probably might have thought about building me an ark here a couple weeks ago. I mean, there's some people that had to get out in boats and get away from their houses, didn't they? But didn't God tell us back in the book of Genesis that he was not going to destroy this land by a flood anymore? Well, do we believe God or not? Sure do. Now, he didn't say there wasn't going to be floods in different places. He's not going to destroy the world by a flood no more. But over here in the end of this thing, he's going to destroy this world by fire. Now, let's go back to Exodus chapter 19. Now, let's go through this thing just hurriedly this morning. Now, if you have a question while we're doing this, let's stop. We ain't got to stay on what we're doing here, but if you got a question about what's going on here, let's talk about it. Now, Exodus chapter 19, verse 1. In the third month, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day came they into the wilderness of Sinai. Now, for time's sake, come to verse 5. I know who we're dealing with. We're dealing with the children of Israel. Verse 5. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be a kingdom of priests and holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 7. Deuteronomy chapter 7. Did God say if Israel would keep these commandments and things, they would be above people?
Yeah.
Ain't that what he said?
Yeah.
All right, he said you'll be a kingdom of priests and a royal priesthood. We're going to say this line right here represents Israel.
is the rest of the world down here. Israel is exalted above the rest of the people as long as they do what God says. Now, Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 1. When the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it, and hast cast out many nations before thee, and he names these nations. Come down to verse 5. But thus shalt ye deal with them. Ye shall destroy their altars, break down their images. Now these seven nations listed in verse 1, were Israel to do something when they went into that land? He said, break down their altars. Break down their images. In other words, tear them down. Now, let's read on in verse 7. Cut down their groves, burn their graven images with fire. Were they supposed to tear down their altars, cut down their groves, and burn their graven images? Israel didn't do that. You know what happened to them? They went right down the tube. The first thing, you know, I go back all the way back to Adam back here in the garden. God told Adam one thing that he could not do, and he couldn't even keep that. Went right down the tube. Here comes Israel out of bondage after 430 years in Egypt. They came out of bondage. God said, don't do this and don't do that. And they did just the opposite. What's man doing today? Just the opposite. Paul said in Romans to Philemon that when Jesus Christ died at Calvary, he died for all your sins. All your sins are gone. God don't see them. He sees the blood of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, when he looks down here today or tomorrow or ever how long the church, the body of Christ is here, he sees the church, the body of Christ under the blood, and the law is under that blood. He can't see the law for looking to the blood. He can't see past the blood of his Son. Why? Because he accepted the sacrifice that his Son made at Calvary. And it's a done deal. But now what are the people telling people they need to do? Repent of their sins. Stop doing this. Don't go there. Don't say that. Don't eat this. Don't drink that. Don't do that. Don't walk on the grass. I've told y'all the story about them people out there at Cottage Hill Baptist Church looking at me. Them kids, they got sidewalks for the kids to walk on. We don't have to walk on the grass. And I'd go to meet my grandson, and I'd purposely get off the sidewalk and walk on the grass. And them teachers would be looking at me. I'm setting a bad example for them kids. But wait a minute. There's some dude out there riding a lawnmower all over that grass. Cutting the grass. Come on, people. People don't stop and think. Did Israel stop and think back here what they was giving up? Did Adam stop and think back here and work out this thing in his mind and say, you know, God said I could have everything in this world. This is beautiful. I ain't got to work. Ain't got to do nothing. Just don't eat that fruit over that tree over yonder. And Adam couldn't have it. Neither can we. That's why Paul said in Romans chapter 7, oh wretched man that I am. We're all a bunch of wretched people. What do wretched people need? Need a Savior. Well, God supplied a Savior, his sinless Son. Now, go back to Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 6. For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. Did God choose Israel to be above everybody? He wanted to dwell among these people right here. He wanted to be their God. And there were gods in the world. They had altars to their gods, and they would bowing down to these idols and these altars. Man is still doing it today. God said that's an abomination. People don't care. They do not believe in there's going to be someday they're going to have to go to a judgment seat. Some of us are going to go to the judgment seat of Christ. Some of them are going to go to the white, great white throne judgment over here and going to be judged according to their works. Our works will be judged up here for rewards. Our sins will not come up. They are done away with. Now, watch what he says here. Verse 7. The Lord did not set his love upon thee, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people, for you were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you, because he would keep the oath which he had sworn to your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondage from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Hold your place here and go to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Y'all remember the song, Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb? Well, we are redeemed by the blood of a man, according to Romans chapter 5. Now, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 3, if any man teach otherwise, consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmising, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. So don't worry about when you looked on TV and see Hagee and Osteen and all that bunch like that with thousands of people in their classes. God said he chose these people because they were the fewest. I suspect the body of Christ in this dispensation we live in are the fewest people there are. I suspect you got millions more in denominational systems that are not in the church and body of Christ. Go to Ephesians chapter 2. Hold Deuteronomy. We'll get there in just a minute. Go to Ephesians chapter 2. Y'all ought to know where I'm headed. One of my favorite verses. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. But God, oh, thank the Lord for Paul and the butts in this Romans to Philemon. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us. Didn't he tell Israel back here, because I loved you, that I wanted to dwell among you? Well, God wants to dwell among the people in the church, the body of Christ. But how can he do that if you don't trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? He can't dwell with you.
That's right.
You understand?
Amen.
You can't get good enough to dwell in God's presence or God dwell in your presence. There ain't no way you can make yourself good enough for that. The only way you can achieve that is by the death of Jesus Christ and trusting what Christ did at Calvary.
Amen.
Now, go back to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hold the fort. Did God Almighty tell Israel back here, said, I'm going to love you whether you do what I tell you or not?
No.
No, he did not. What have you got to do in here?
Trust God.
Come on, what have you got? All you got to do is believe that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You ain't got to do nothing else. You ain't got to stop doing nothing. You ain't got to start doing anything. You've got to start trusting. Then you can come unto the knowledge of the truth.
Amen.
God will show you some things from Genesis all the way to Revelation. Amen. Without the Holy Spirit, you ain't going to learn some of these things.
Amen.
Now, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 5. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you're saved. Hath raised us. Hey, but let me ask you a question. Was Israel saved out of bondage by grace? Think about that. What do you think? Didn't God say he loved them?
Yeah.
But God do something to keep that love. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 28. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 28. In Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1. It shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God shall set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Go back to chapter 27, verse 26, please, and look what God says about these curses. Cursed be he that confirmeth not all the words of this law to do them. And all the people shall say, Amen. Beloved, they should have said, Whoa, Lord, we can't do this. Can you keep the law and the commandments today to get to God?
No.
You can't do that. God never told you to do that. God told you in Colossians that the law and ordinances contained in the commandments were contrary to us, done away with. Go to chapter 28. Deuteronomy 28, verse 13. And the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail. Thou shalt be above only, thou shalt not be beneath, if that thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day to observe and to do them. And thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I command thee this day, to the right hand or to the left, to go after other gods to serve them. Now verse 15. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. And he names these curses. Now go to verse 43. Now you need to go home and study all of this and get a picture. Whatsoever things are written aforetime were written for our learning. Is there learning in the things that Israel failed to do back here? Well, it ought to teach us something over here, that we've got to do what God said. And I know what God said. God said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. If you don't believe that Jesus Christ, when he died for all your sins to get you out of this world and keep you out of hell, then you're going to wind up in hell.
Amen.
There ain't no other choice for God to do. The only thing he could do back here was tell Israel, listen, you got all this law back here, all these statutes and commandments and judgments and all these things that I've told you to do. If you would do them, you'll be exalted above all people. And they would someday go into the kingdom that God would set up over here as he did back here. And I believe that if you could see what Adam had back here in the Garden of Eden, we could see what the kingdom's going to be like over here in the future. Did God, before Adam sinned or transgressed what God said, was Adam going to have to work? But after Adam disobeyed God, then God put, he said, from dust thou return, Adam could have lived forever. Back in the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve were told to replenish the earth and subdue it. In other words, take it back to God. They didn't do it. So he brought Israel out, told them that what they could do, and he would dwell among them, and he would be their God, he would fight their wars, and he did. He fought their enemies, seven nations. And then listen, he didn't destroy those seven nations just in 1 hour or overnight. He said, I'm not going to do this that fast. He said, if I do, the wild beasts and the animals and all that will overtake you. So he did it little by little. God showing them that he could take care of them. What'd they do? They wanted to be like everybody else. They got out there in the wilderness, and God sent some men over yonder to spy out the land where they were headed. Two of them, Joshua and Caleb, brought back a good report. 40 days they were there. And y'all study that. 40 days they were there. They cut down a branch of grapes and had two men to carry those grapes on a stick between the two people. They were so big. And you know what them other fellows said? Say, hey, there's giants over there. We can't handle them people. Say, so we just like grasshoppers in this sight. Don't that remind you of something today? Lord, I can't go over there. Them people don't believe this. Well, somebody got to show them. Who's going to show them the truth? Did you always know the truth? I didn't always know the truth. Somebody had to show me the truth. Thank God that they did. You got the same situation. You got the same privilege. That's why God left us here. If there wasn't for something for us to do when we got saved, God could have took us out of here into glory right then. But there's a need for us to be here because God would have all men to be saved today and come unto the knowledge of the truth. You got anybody you need to tell the truth to, do it. You don't know how long you're going to be here. You don't know how long the church of body of Christ is going to be here. And if you've got somebody that's not in the church of body of Christ, and I'm not talking about joining some church, I'm talking about trusting Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, and the Holy Spirit baptizes you into a body, and you can't find anything back here in Genesis to Malachi about the body of Christ. It ain't back there. Now, you can find some people back there that their salvation was hid in the scriptures back here, those who first trusted in Christ that Paul wrote to. You can find their salvation back there, but you can't find anything about the body of Christ back there. It's not there. It's hid. Now, people such as us that were not in the covenant of promise, our salvation was hid in God until revealed to Paul in Acts chapter 18. And Paul never spoke anything about it until Acts 22. And when he did, from Acts 22 on, Paul became a prisoner for us Gentiles. You understand? God sent deliverers back here, and he also sent Jesus Christ here. And you know what Jesus Christ told these people here in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? And people do not believe this right now today. You can show it to them in black and white. In Matthew chapter 15, verse 24, Jesus Christ said, I am not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And everybody in the world wants to try to get everybody to follow Jesus in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And you can't do it. There is no way you can do it. And just like the other week here when it was flooding so bad. If I'd have built the ark, it wouldn't have done me no good. Would it? Wouldn't have done me no good. You know why? I got the promise of God that he ain't going to do it that way no more. So I'm not worried about that. By the way, I ain't got to worry about what the law says. I ain't talking about the law of the land. You don't do the, you run red light, of course. You know what? Everywhere I go in this town, I don't care what day it is, what night, what road, it don't make no difference. If there is a red light there, I see people blatantly, not accidentally, red, running red lights, and if I'm not aware, this couple of them would have got me. You don't run a red light, do you, Peter?
I was trying to get here on time.
We were running late today.
I try not to. And I won't deliberately run a red light. Now, if I got an emergency, that's something different. But I'm talking about people that blatantly, I've tried to take off before and had to stop, keep them getting run over. And when my light has turned green, y'all do know there in some of these intersections it takes longer. They got this figured out because they know people running red lights. this light right here will turn yellow, and then you've got about 3 or 4 seconds here before this one over here turns green. So these don't run out in front of these that's running the red light.
There you go.
And you got some of them, they're about 4 or 5 seconds. And you got some of them that's immediate. Some of them they've had to go back, and they'll tell you this if you ask them. They've had to go back and change these because so many people are running. But you know why somebody runs some of them? Years ago, Art Hall, y'all remember Brother Hall? And I used to go pick him and burn these up over there on Lafayette Street on Dolphin and Lafayette. There wouldn't be a mumbling soul in sight nowhere. And that red light there is about a 4 minute light. And we said, well, there ain't nothing coming nowhere. So I started running this stinking light. Brother Hart come to me and said, boy, you know, he put that old fist up in your face. And he said, boy, you're causing my wife to run red lights. I said, well, I ain't taught your wife to do that. He said, she won't wait at that red light no more. She's doing what you're doing. She gets up there and ain't none coming. She just goes on. No, but that's why they have to change these laws for us. But see, I ain't got to worry about the Mosaic law. I ain't got to worry about these 600-some-odd laws in the Old Testament. Why? They done away with. Now, the moral issue is still available. You understand? Should we commit adultery? Should we steal? Should we kill? I know that some of y'all ain't saying nothing. There's times I'm glad my pistol ain't in my vehicle. No. You know what? Even when I hunted, I quit hunting. But even when I hunted, before I pulled that trigger, I'd say to myself, are you sure you want to do this? Are you sure? Because I know a lot of people that I work with, I've heard them talking about going hunting. They see the bushes wiggling, they shoot it. You know what I'm talking about. I don't do that. Before I pull the trigger, I'm going to be sure that that's the only way out. If there's any other way out, I ain't going to do it. I'd hate to kill somebody's child. I would. I'd hate to kill somebody's child. It may come to it someday. I don't ever know somebody breaking my house. That'd be something different. So, mamas, what is your job as a mother? To teach your children. The aged women, it's very clear in Titus. Aged women teach the young women to love their husbands. To love their children. I used to read that years ago. I say, God, you ain't got to teach a mama to love its kid. You want to get yourself in trouble in the woods, you come up on an animal, a mama that's got some babies in the woods, and see what that mama will do. I used to love to watch killdees. Y'all know what a killdee is? I used to love to watch killdees out there at the paper mill. Had a railroad track that went through the back of the place out there and had a dump back there on the back of the property, and them killdees would make their nest around them railroad tracks right on the ground. And you get near to it, and that old mama killdee, she'd run out there and flop around, one leg hanging and the other wing flopping. You know what she's doing? She's getting you attention so you won't fool with her babies. And you want something that'll get you a wild pig that's got babies and see what she'll do. You better have a tree to get in.
You know, turkeys will do that too.
Yeah.
I see them do it all the time. That like cripple run off, draw you away from those little chick.
And a mockingbird, if you come near a mockingbird's nest, you know what that mockingbird will do? She'll dive down on you.
That's exactly right.
She will. She'll chase you off. And I used to read that in Titus. Aged women teach the young women to love their husbands and love their children. I said, Lord, you don't have to do that, but we do nowadays, don't we? We were talking about it before class, about mamas putting babies in microwaves. I don't mean just to, have some place for them to sleep. I'm talking about trying to cook them. Drown them. That ain't a mama that lost her baby. You know what's happened? Somewhere down the line, something has been failed to teach somebody. Israel failed to teach their children, hey, we don't bow down to idols. We worship one God. There ain't but one God, and He will dwell among us if we do this. And if we don't, go to Deuteronomy 28, verse 15. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and do all His commandments and His statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. And they did. Go to verse 43. The stranger that is within thee shall get up above thee very high, and thou shalt come down very low. He shall lend to thee, and thou shalt not lend to him. He shall be the head, and thou shalt be the tail. Moreover, all these curses shall come upon thee, shall pursue thee and overtake thee, till thou be destroyed, because thou hearkenest not unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to keep His commandments and His statutes, which I commanded thee. And they shall be upon thee for a sign, all His commandments and laws. They shall be upon thee for a sign and for a wonder, and upon thy seed, how long? Forever. Now hold the point. What about in here? Didn't Paul tell us in Romans chapter 3, verse 21, but now the righteousness of God without the law? Didn't he tell them in Acts chapter 13, right after the reading of the Moses and the law, he said, you can be justified by this man, which you could not be justified by the law of Moses? Well, if they couldn't be justified no more by the law of Moses, why do we think we can be justified today by keeping the law and the commandments? Can't do it. It won't work. Go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. You see, I don't believe people really believe this. Now, he's talking about 2 days there in the book of Thessalonians. I think he's talking about personally. Just maybe somebody disagree with him. I don't care. Disagree with God if you want to. I don't care. There's a day of the rapture, and there's a day of the second coming. We know that the Lord is going to come back again. We know He came back here to Israel. They rejected Him. They said, we'll have no king but Caesar. Crucify Him. They did. After 3 days and 3 nights, He ascended up, spent 40 days with 12 apostles, training them some things. He left and went out, and above all heavens, Paul saw Him brighter than the noonday sun. In Acts chapter 9, Saul got saved in Acts chapter 9. Saul's name was changed to Paul in Acts 13, verse 9. You know, this thing ain't just no coincidence. Paul is the 13th apostle. Paul is from the tribe of Benjamin, the 13th child in the lineage of Jacob. Check it out, tribe of Benjamin. Benjamin in Genesis 49 was told to divide the spoil at night. Israel is in nighttime today, according to Romans chapter 13. Paul said, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. This day right here, day of the rapture. Now, when we go out in the rapture, our sins ain't going with us, but our works are. What are you doing for the Lord? What do you got in mind of doing for the Lord today? You got somebody that you know that you can share the gospel of Christ with? You ain't got to teach them right division. What do you need to teach them? Make sure they're saved. Make sure that they're saved. How can you make sure they're saved? Ask them. Tell me, how'd you get saved? If I went around the room right here, and I won't do this, and I asked you, tell me how you got saved, could you tell me how you got saved? You should. Should be able to. Y'all know what a lost believer is? I heard a man's testimony. The man's been in this class several times. I heard a testimony last week
was week four last night in Op, Alabama. Man said he gave his testimony several years ago. Said he was alive. He wasn't saved. I know the man I've talked to. Been by my house quite a bit. Hung up on Romans chapter 10, verse 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. With the mouth confession is made for salvation. I seen one head twitch a little bit just then. You know why? That ain't what it said. What did it say?
Unto
salvation. You don't have to confess to get saved. You confess to somebody, hey, I trusted Christ as my Savior. I believe that Jesus Christ died for me, paid for my sins, and I'm going to go to heaven because of what Jesus Christ did for me and not what I'm doing for Him. Ain't that what it says, confession unto salvation?
Yes, sir.
The man was hung up on confession, and he finally figured out, hey, I'm confessing to God that I've trusted Him. He come by my house several times and had this problem. On Romans chapter 10, verse 9, he couldn't figure out that he didn't have to confess for salvation. He confessed unto salvation. You understand? There's a difference. You see, the world says you got to repent of your sins. Well, is there anything wrong with repenting of your sins? No, there ain't. But do you repent of your sins to get salvation? No, you don't. Why? Because Jesus Christ paid the wages of sin. The wages of sin is death. Jesus Christ paid the wages of sin, and His resurrection proved to us that we are now justified by His blood. Amen. I have redemption through His blood, not what I do, because I'm still just as sorry. If you don't believe me, ask my wife. She'll tell you how sorry I am. She don't have to tell you. I'll tell you. I'm sorry. And you better believe you're looking at a sorry, low-down dude. But I'm saved because I've trusted Christ as my personal Savior. And that's all that matters in this world. And I believe Romans chapter 6, verse 6 is very clear. Knowing that this old man is crucified with Him. Not after Him, with Him. So I know I'm quickened together with Him. Not afterwards, not when I got saved, but with Him based on God's foreknowledge. Already glorified. Israel lost a lot of ground because they did not obey God. Now, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Verse 3, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day, and I believe that day there is the second coming, shall not come, except to come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Well, you know the only person in your Bible that's called the son of perdition is Judas Iscariot, and he went and hung himself, and he's gone to his own place. He's going to come up again over here someday, that spirit is, and enter into the Antichrist over here. Now, there's something withholding the man of sin from being revealed. Now, verse 4. Who, the man of sin, who opposes and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Now, you can find that in Ezekiel chapter 28. Read Ezekiel 28. Over and over and over. Think about what he says right here about him. Now, verse 5. Remember you not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things, and now you know what withholdeth, that he, that's the man of sin now, might be revealed in his time. And according to Daniel chapter 9, verse 27, and I don't give a
hoodly do what somebody says is more than 7 years in the tribulation, they need to study prayerfully Daniel chapter 9, verse 27, because the Antichrist has one more week, and a week is 7. You understand? He has one more week. He's got 3.5, and it's broken down for you in your Bible, in the book of Revelations, and in Daniel. He's got some good time. Now, he can't be revealed while we're here, because Moses and Elijah are going to come and preach, and they can't do that while we're here because of Galatians chapter 1, verse 8 and 9. If Moses and Elijah came while we were here, and don't tell me Art Watkins doesn't believe what he preaches. I don't believe he believes that. I've heard him preach it, that we're going to go into the first 3.5 years of the tribulation. I don't believe that, because the two witnesses are going to be there at the beginning of it. And if they are, they're going to be accursed of God. Their message is just going to go right down the tube, and God ain't going to honor it. The same as people that are trying to teach you that you got to follow Jesus in the earthly ministry in this dispensation we live in. God will not honor that today.
Amen.
He didn't honor Israel back here because they disobeyed what he said. He said back here to destroy all the altars, and break them down, cut the groves down, and all that, and they didn't do it. They disobeyed God. Now, what are we doing in here? We're building up and filling up the body of Christ according to the truth of the Word of God, rightly divided. Now, watch what he says here. Verse 7. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 7. For the mystery of iniquity doeth already work. Only he, and I believe that's the church, the body of Christ. And you know why I believe that? I got a verse that tells me what that he means right here. Hold your place here and go to Ephesians chapter 2. Now, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometime were far off were made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath broken down the middle wall. Let me read that again. Verse 14. He is our peace, who hath made both one, and broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for making himself of twain one new man. The church, the body of Christ, is called one new man. Those two groups of people, those who first trusted in Christ, in whom you also trusted. Those that were not in the covenants of promise are now allied with those that were in the covenants of promise. The middle wall of partition being taken out of the way, and you can make out of it whatever you want to. It don't bother me. I don't care what it is. I know it's done away with. You understand? And I know that my job is to keep the unity and the bond of peace. What is the unity? That God took these two groups of people and made one new man out of it. Now go back to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7. For the mystery of iniquity doeth already work. Only he who now letteth will let, until he be taken out of the way. Well, the only place I can find that he taken out of the way is, and don't tell me, like some of these knuckleheads say, that's the Holy Spirit going out of here. No, no, no. Why? Ain't these two characters right here, Moses and Elijah, operating in the Holy Spirit? Well, certainly they are. Holy Spirit ain't the one taken out of the way. It's the body of Christ. When the body of Christ is taken out of the way, the Antichrist can be revealed, the son of perdition, that opposes and exalts himself above that of all that is called God, so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, saying, I am God. And according to the book of Daniel, this character is going to come in making peace. He ain't going to come in with a big old army beating people down. There's going to be wars over there, rumors of war. Matthew 24, Luke 21 says. So he's going to be coming in during a time of trouble, time of Jacob's trouble over here, and he's going to make world peace. And right in the middle of it, he's going to cause the oblation and the sacrifice to cease. Going to be a bad time after that. Terrible time. But we ain't going in it.
Thank God.
Okay, well, who says we are? We ain't going into the tribulation. We're not in the book of Revelation. You know why? You got one verse that'll knock them out of the water. Revelation 1:1. Y'all know what it says? Turn and look at it. Turn to Revelation. Hold 2 Thessalonians. Turn to Revelation 1. It don't take just a second to figure this thing out. You know, I didn't learn too much in school. I wish I had them, but I didn't. Because I didn't like school. I hated the mess. Hated every day. And most of the days I was sitting there by the window. My mind was out there watching the birds and the squirrels and whatever I could find out there. And I didn't give a flip what the teacher was saying. That's why when I taught Sunday school class down there for them teenagers at Forest Park, I cautioned them. I said, listen, youngers, I said, put this stuff in your mind now while you're young. Get this truth of the Word of God in your mind right now while you're young. Don't wait till you get old, because it's hard to remember these things. I can sit on my front porch and read, and 2 minutes later, I have to start right back over. Find myself, my mind wandering. I remember Brother Moore give us an example one time. He said, you can take a man and strip him down naked, put him in a concrete building, no windows and no wall, no nothing. He said, boy, long you're going to sin. That's the way we are. You think you ain't? Watch your mind.
Yep.
Wonder.
That's right.
Revelation 1, verse 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to him to show unto his servants things which must surely come to pass. And he, Jesus Christ, sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. What does that verse tell you right there? Though we are an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we preach unto you, let him be accursed. So if we went into the book of Revelations over here, the angel that tried to show the servants of God, and are we servants of God? Certainly we are. But we're not the servants that the book of Revelation is written to.
That's right.
The servants that the book of Revelation is written to is in chapter 7. 144,000 of all the tribes of Israel. And after that, a number that nobody can number of all nations and kindreds and tongues. And they got to die to get over here to the second coming. I ain't got to die, thank you, Lord. He abolished death for us. Now, we may have to go to sleep, but praise God, it's a wonderful, blessed rest. Y'all know when you go to sleep at night and you don't never wake up until the next morning, look at the clock, Lord, I just laid down, and the night's already gone. Peace, we didn't know nothing. The other night, it stormed real bad. I didn't know nothing about it. I slept right there. Somebody said it hailed a little bit that night. My grandson, he said, yes, I heard it beating on the patio cover out there. I slept right there. I mean, that's peaceful. When you can do that, that's peaceful. If you can't, God help you. Because I do have some of them nights that I can't sleep too good. I'll go to bed with something on my mind or a song on my mind and I can't chunk it. Y'all ever do that? I sometimes get a song in my mind and I will go all day long, and every now and then I hear myself doing that song and I just can't chunk it. Can't get rid of it. Go back to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Verse 7. For the mystery of iniquity doeth already work, only he who now letteth will live until he be taken out of the way, and then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. You know, I believe the world's being made ready right now for these lying signs and wonders. Think about Benny Hinn. Think about Richard Roberts. Think about all these people that believe in healing. Think about it. Did Judas Iscariot have the power to heal back here?
Yeah. Sure did.
They said in Acts chapter 1, this man had taken part of the ministry. God gave him the power to heal back here. See, he's gone to his own place, coming up again over here, going to enter into a man over here, the son of perdition. Going to be a bad day. You don't want to be here. Now, look what God's going to do. To you that have heard the gospel of Christ, that have not received the gospel of Christ, got news for you. God ain't through with you. He's not just going to cast you aside and forget about you. He's got something planned for you, and he's not leaving you unaware of what he's got planned for you. So just pay attention. Verse 10. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. Why? Because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. For this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned, who believe not the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. Wow. But wouldn't be to Romans chapter 1. Let me show you something about that. Romans chapter 1. Brother, you ain't fooling God. You may be fooling yourself, but you ain't fooling God. You're either saved or you're lost. And if the rapture takes place, you will believe the Antichrist. Why? Because in this time now, you didn't receive the love of the truth that you might be saved. So, what do you need to do? Tell your friends what Jesus Christ did at Calvary. Died for all your sins. Don't worry about whether they think you're a nut or not. I might be a nut. But tell them that when Christ died at Calvary, paid for your sins. What's your problem? Unbelief. Same as Israel. They didn't believe God. They said, Moses, we should have stayed back there in Egypt. Had all these leeks and onions and garlic and all this stuff, all this food we could eat. Said, you brought us out here to kill us. Do you know why Israel was in that wilderness 40 years? So all those that came out and murmured against Moses and Aaron died. And they spent 40 years out there every year for a day that they searched out the promised land. 40 days they searched out the promised land. Deuteronomy chapter 8 tells you that they searched the land 40 days and brought back an evil report. All they said was, you just brought us out here to kill us and our children. You know who died in the wilderness? Those that didn't believe. Caleb and Joshua. They believed the evil report. Well, let people believe in the evil report today in the dispensation of the grace of God. Mm-hmm. Certainly there are about a million. They believe in they got to repent and be baptized. I didn't even say nothing the other day. Friend of ours that I know had to tell me about this girl that went to Thompson Baptist Church up in Walker County. Walker Springs, right above Jackson.
and got baptized.
Boy, this got me right here in my heart. You don't think people are putting it confidence and emphasis on water baptism?
Yeah.
You just listen to them. And that ain't got a fucking thing to do with the gospel of Christ.